horses, the ones we're going to highlight, going to the Coolmore, but there's a couple of others there. That is Extreme Choice in front, Russian Revolution in the same colours but with a black cap, Astern in the Godolphin Blue in behind them. Out wider, you've got Turn Me Loose in that white cap. Just inside it in the predominantly white colours is Southern Legend. And Versteppen is the wide runner in Danny O'Brien's colours. Nick, take it away.
Yeah, well, what can you say? I mean, those three colts on the inside there, Extreme Choice, Russian Revolution and Astern, dominate the Coolmore Stud Stakes markets, or will dominate the Coolmore Stud Stakes market. I thought Astern looked really good here. He's trucking. That's what I wanted to see from him, because I think we know that Extreme Choice, he's up and running. We saw him a couple of weeks ago in the Moya. He got the job done there. I just wanted to see Astern travel down to Melbourne, and I wanted to see that before charging into him this weekend. What do you think, Duff?
Look, they all got a tick from me. I'm going to be on that thing of Danny O'Brien's in a class two or something. Well,
now, what about Melbourne Cup news? Yep. What have you got for us?
Yeah, okay, so the Geelong Cup. Now, those that backed Oceanographer in the Melbourne Cup, don't tear your tickets up just yet. I spoke to Greg Carpenter yesterday. He said to me he thinks the horse will probably get a run, as will, obviously, Kiwi and Grey Line. So the first three across the line in the Geelong Cup, which we're looking at now, could all get a start in the Melbourne Cup next Tuesday.
So, Nick, what you've heard is that there's the likelihood of only, say, 26 or 27 final acceptors, or the next stage of acceptors.
Yeah.
With attrition, there's even a chance we won't even have a full field accepting on Saturday night for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, if you can find someone who bet you a price that we won't get a full field for the Melbourne Cup, I'd have something on it, because Greg said to me yesterday he expects, 26 or 27, he said there might be one or two surprises at the third deck stage tomorrow. They'll be released tomorrow. And if that's the case, guys, we only need two or three, to come out before next Tuesday, and we won't get a full field in the Melbourne Cup. Before Saturday when the final field is declared. And I can't remember that happening.
All right. We've got to go. We're over time. Yeah. Do a bit more work this week, will you?
Yeah.
All right, boys.
Good on you. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Duff.
Thanks.
See you later, everyone.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith. Manly legend Max Grillage.
I think the league realistically have made too many changes to the game. I think the bunker shouldn't even be there. Should only have one referee, like the Plumbies have one referee. So I listened to Tommy Rudolik just waffle on the other day, and I think he was correct. A lot of stuff he was saying. But that's the dinosaurs coming out in, because that's the way we used to play.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Sunday mornings at 6 on Sky Sports Radio. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda.
There's nothing better than watching a standard bred extend into his action. Hear it, feel it, live it on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
And a very good morning to you, Simon Harrison in the chair at 10:33, and welcome to this week's edition of Pacing Rewind. Fred Hastings is with us now. Freddie, good morning.
Good day, Simon. Yeah, it's been a busy, certainly a busy week in harness racing, and some great results last night.
I see Lenny the Shark is one step closer to Inter Dominion Glory.
Yeah, look, he was very good again last night. He took on a field of six opponents, did what we thought he'd do, kicked right away from them, and posted some very fast sectionals at the back end.
Lenny the Shark first to see the judge. Ultimate Art off its back is second. I Am Mr. Brightside, Bling It On and Saloon Passage, but he opens up and goes full bore on Lenny, and Lenny leaves them lamenting. He races two and a half in front of a wall of horses chasing. Bling It On to the outside. Ultimate Art also there, Saloon Passage, but it's an easy one at the end for Lenny the Shark.
So Lenny the Shark now the $5 second favourite behind Hector JJ for the Interdom. Fred, how many more runs is he likely to have before he goes to Perth?
Look, I suspect that may well have been his last run before he actually heads across. We spoke, as you will recall, and our listeners will recall, speaking with Chris Alford, there was some thought he might have had one more run. Just the way he blew them away last night, he would have blown the cobwebs out well and truly. I suspect he might head to Perth now on the back of that win last night.
Now, outside of the Shirokin pace last night, we had the Group 3 on the card. Freddie, the Ranji Bill.
Yeah, look, it was a race named after a mighty mare of the late 70s and early 80s, Rangy Bill. She was a diminutive little pacing mare, and she actually set a record at Harold Park for the most wins in the season, which was 12, eclipsing horses like, and get these names, Cocky Raider, James Scott and Lucky Creed, when Rangy Bill won her 12th race in the season. She was a terrific mare, and she won 29 times at Harold Park, and the race, the Group 3 last night, named in her honour.
29 the third quarter, and the leader now going up strongly as Gina Grace to head off Millwood Liberty. Duvella's trying to get into the clear, change over a flying and 3D Delight, one of the boulders getting home, running into a dead end there is Duvella. Gina Grace, Millwood Liberty down the outside as 3D Delight. Is this a boil over of gargantuan proportions? 3D Delight levelled up on the outside, put the nose in front, it's got there. 3D Delight has won it.
Yeah, at the Bolter's odds there. What happened to the favourite, Freddie? Katy Perry.
Look, taken on in an early speed battle. They went, I think, from memory, it was a 26 flat quarter. Millwood Liberty and Katy Perry drew the deepest. They pretty much declared each other on. And I think Katy Perry, in my opinion, is the kind of mare that she needs things to go her way in a race. And when her apple cart was upset, so as to speak, and she had to work hard in that first split, I think that just took too much out of her. Look, she's a quality mare, and she'll bounce back. But yesterday or last night, it was a tough early 400 metres. In fact, Simon, the first half of the race was run in a blistering 53.6 with her sitting outside contesting. And I think that sort of played into the hands of some of the horses, including the winner.
Well, Darren McCullough was the trainer of 3D Delight, and he joins us on Pacing Rewind. Darren, good morning.
Thank you.
Darren, is for many a surprise win, but when you go through the mare's form, she run fifth beaten just 8.5 metres, sixth beaten 6 metres, and seventh beaten 7 metres in the last three runs. So she was on their hammer every time, just needed a bit of luck, and she got it last night.
Yeah, her first couple of runs for us have been quite good, albeit, it wasn't really in this kind of calibre of horse, but she wasn't far away. I was happy with the race last week, but I think she seen the air a little too early. She was 3 and 4 wide for the last 500, and I think last night was a perfect trip, really.
Chris Geary does a lot of the stable driving when you're, not driving or when you've got multiple runners in a race, and he handled it perfectly last night.
Yeah, he did. I give him, normally not many instructions, but I said to him last night that, really she's probably our class against this calibre of mare. Get her to the fence and keep her there as long as you can and under the sea daylight if you can in the home straight. So it worked out great.
That 53.6 first half certainly aided and abetted her prospects. And once, as you said, he was able to work, I think, to memory, she was 4 pegs and he's just able to peel it right to the outside and she really did let down.
Yeah, she's finished it off great. And every start, she has finished it off really good. We've been pretty, happy with the way she's raced. Like her first start, she'd come to us and she probably, she'd had a couple of tough races, I think, in Queensland. And I said to him, just get on the inside and give her some confidence, let her finish good. And she did. She finished really good. But, his drive last night was a gem. And I think that, if she had to do any more work at all, she probably wouldn't have got the chocolates. But,
She's won just under 100,000. You've had her. That was her fourth run for you, and she's picked up a Group 3. 151.8, that certainly is her best mile. Where to from here, Darren? You're just going to poke around in a grade and pick up a few races where you can?
Well, yeah, we'll just play it by ear. But like I say, she's improved time-wise every run. The first run for us was the fastest she's ever been, and she's dropped it every week. So you never know, anything's possible. She might have a little more left in the tank. She came, hopefully, we were just hoping that she could win a mare's MO. Well, she won an MO now, but it was going for 30. So it was a big bonus for the owners. I'm sure they were very impressed with her performance. So we'll just take it by ear with her, and hopefully she can at least pick up another race or two there.
Now, you've set up shop at the new training establishment there at Menangle, and I think, am I right in saying 3D Delight was your first win since you moved into the barns?
Yeah, we've had only a couple of weeks now. We had quite a few checks, and I think we've only had like about one off-the-board finish or two off-the-board finishes. But the horses have gone really well. They've settled in great. The facilities are excellent, and we're really enjoying it.
How many are you training out of there, Darren?
We have 14. We have space for another 6 here. Okay. So we've got a little room. The horses, as I say, they've really done well here, so we're very happy.
Seem to be very happy that the horses, you know, not just obviously, you know, you're saying yours are, but we've spoken to Shane Tritton and a few other, you know, trainers that have horses, you know, stabled there. They just seem, it seems to be a happy environment.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I've trained in a lot of establishments around the world and, you know, I kind of thought, well, I'll give it a little time, just to let everything settle down and, you know, iron out all their kinks. But the operation run very smoothly here. All the trainers get along really good. There's plenty of paddocks for the horses and plenty of walking machines. And, you know, we have the use of the water walker. And, yeah, it really is very, very good.
And you said you got room for six more. So any owner's wanting a trainer, a top-grade trainer, Darren's got room. He'll look after you, right, Darren?
That's for sure. That is
there's
for sure,
the,
yeah.
There's the free plug, old mate. We've given you a free plug. Now, what about, you just mentioned, you touched on, you've trained at various facilities around the world. You spent a great deal of time in North America. How long were you there?
In total, I spent 12 years in North America. I spent 4 years in the US training in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I was second trainer for Ross Grogan there. He was the leading trainer at the Meadowlands at the time.
Yep.
And then at the end of that 4 years, I went out on my own and went to Canada and spent 8 years training there in Canada on the Woodbine circuit, right? Mm-hmm. Mainly Mohawk and Woodbine. And in the 8 years, our horses amassed $12 million in purse earnings. So.
And that was you out on your own, yeah?
Yes, that's correct.
That's awesome, $12 million. And, of course, we're covering a lot of the Canadian races via Woodbine and Mohawk, particularly lately being Mohawk with their features. So that would have been a good flashback for you, no doubt.
Well, it actually was. I was pretty impressed with it. You know, like all those years there and they never covered any. And just of late there, we got the Canadian Trotting Classic and the Maple Leaf Trot. And, yeah, got to see a few of the old friends and even got a plug from the race caller there. Give me a big plug before the Maple Leaf. But it was a good place and it was a good time and we learned a lot. And we're very happy to be back here now and plying our trade again.
In terms of those facilities, not so much the facilities, but the tracks you've driven on, where does Menangle sit in the scheme of things? Obviously, you've done a lot of driving at the Big M at Meadowlands, and it's a mile track, but where does Menangle sit?
Oh, it's definitely no doubt the best track in the Southern Hemisphere. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you'd have to put it right up there with, you know, quite a few of the best tracks in the world, really, you know, I'd have to say the best track I've ever driven on would be the Red Mile in Lexington. It's, you know, it's a clay surface and it is by far the fastest and the best track to ever drive on. But, you know, when you put Menangle up there, it's really a replica of Mohawk, you know, when you're driving the two of them. And Mohawk's a great track too. So, yeah, you know, you get the Meadowlands. There's not many other tracks that are a mile anyway now. So, yeah, it's in the top probably half a dozen in the world. You know, so it ranks highly.
You recently headed off to Europe and you spent some time and had a few drives or a drive or two in Denmark.
Yeah, my wife's Danish, so, you know, every year or so we go on holidays back to Europe and we always manage to, you know, find our way to a track. And I was actually talking to a Dane that worked for David Aiken at the time and I said to him, I've been so many times and I've never even thought about having a drive. He said, no, I'll get you a drive. So fortunately, through Victor, he organised me a drive. So I got to have a drive in a track called Charlottelund and right in the middle of Copenhagen, which is 125 years old, the track. It's very historic and a really, really good track to drive on. It's a very impressive surface and the banking. It was only finished fifth, but it was still a good thrill to be sitting out there with some of the top riders in Europe.
And that would have been a trotting event because all trotting races in Denmark, most of the European strongholds for harness racing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, correct. There's only paces into Ireland and England. That's it. The rest of them all trotters.
All trotters. Well, Darren, it's been a good start to the move into the Menangle training facility, a Group 3 with a mare who was set around at 50 to 1. But I suppose when you analyse where she'd been in her recent races and the time she had to acclimatise to your training methods, 50 to 1 was luxurious. I know you don't bet, but it would have been nice to have had a dollar or two on.
Yeah, it sure would have been nice to have a dollar on. I had quite a few people saying to me, how come I didn't tip her? And I said, well, I thought actually she could win the Saddle before in a lesser company, and you know, I really couldn't see that she could beat you know, especially Mildred Liberty, who's dropping back out of the free for all race and the boys. But it was a pleasant surprise to say the least. Anyway,
Good on you, Darren. Now, Freddie's Fast Five. You don't know about this, but I throw five questions at you. Answer the best you can. Best horse you've seen or been associated with?
Come Beat Somewhere.
Come Beat Somewhere. What about your favourite food? What do you chow down to?
Steak.
A bit of steak. What about a place in the world that you have been to that you'd love to get back to or somewhere you wish to go to in the future?
Paris.
Paris. What do you do to relax away from the track and the racing, the hustle and bustle of racing? What do you do to put the feet up?
You know what, I don't fish. So really, the thing I like to do is actually just go and rest.
Go and rest. Yeah, I suppose you horsemen do keep pretty long hours. What about the last one, your biggest influence in your career?
Oh, definitely. It has to be my father.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he was a horse trainer himself, and so was his father before him. So, yeah, without a doubt.
So you're third gen? Third generation?
Yeah. Yeah, my grandfather was J.C. McCall, who trained way back in the day at Harold Park.
Yeah.
And he's known as Dar, and he's my father, Ron, who trained at Harold Park and trained for Inghams's back in the day. And then if you branch off the family, you know, you've got my cousins, who's Peter Morris, who's the father of Robbie Morris, and on, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's a long history of horse trainers in our family, but, we're third-generation trainers, so.
Good on you, Darren. Well, thanks for giving us some time this morning and having a chat. We learned a bit about your past and certainly with what lie ahead with the new facility. Room for six horses. Owners, if you've got a horse you want placed somewhere and you want a metro trainer in good facilities, Darren's your man. Thanks for joining us, Darren.
Thanks, Fred.
Darren McCall there, Simon. He's been certainly very well travelled and very well accomplished in the sport of harness racing.
Before we wrap it up, Freddie, any inter-Dominion news?
Yeah, look, third rankings came out, Simon. There was no surprises to see the big guns all there at the top. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Freiburg's been a mover, and, I know they were earmarking a potential tilt at the Inter-Dominion last year and didn't get theirs, but he's looking good for a trip to Perth. Shane Tritton, Team Tritton, notched up their 1,000th winner as a trainer during the week. The Horse of the Year, New South Wales Horse of the Year, will be announced at a gala function on Saturday next. And there's going to be all the age groups and categories as well. And the two-year-old trialling sale, the ready-to-run two-year-old trialling sale, which happens in December this year, will be held at Menangle on the 11th of December.
Good stuff. We better wrap it up there. Freddie, thanks for your input as always, and enjoy your Sunday.
Good on you, Simon. You do the same.
It's 13 to 11.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the 2015 Epsom Handicap. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And winks. Wow.
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet this spring when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab. We love a bet. Replays available on all New South Wales races. Gamble responsibly.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
And time to have a chat about greyhound racing. Stuart Turner, good morning.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Very well, thanks. Stu, big night at the Meadows last night.
It was. What a night down there in Victoria. Two group finals to enjoy. The Mighty Burn won down, taking out the Group 2 Top Gun Stayers for Jason Thompson. What a year Jason has enjoyed. And then the big one, the Group 1 Sky Racing Top Gun, with Dundee Osprey winning with a terrific run from Box 8 to give her trainer, to give his trainer, Jeff Scott-Smith, his biggest ever win in the sport, a $150,000 top prize. What a fantastic night for Jeff and a well-deserved success.
And if you missed the $150,000 Group 1 last night, here is a replay of Dundee Osprey winning the Sky Racing Top Gun.
Racing, Worm Burner slow to begin away fast, Pantera and Era drove over the inside to lead Aston Bolero, followed by Dundee Osprey around the outer. Going out to the tail, Worm Burner the first turn with Aqua Cheetah and Zambora Brocky third last down the back though. Aston Bolero led by a length and a half, Pantera and Era, 4 or 5 lengths away to Dundee Osprey. They were followed then by Let It Down on Lawful Entry, followed by Zambora Brocky, then Worm Burner, Aqua Cheetah on the turn. It's Aston Bolero the leader. Here comes Dundee Osprey. Dundee Osprey racing away to win the top. second. Aston Bolero second. Third is Pantera Nera, I'd say.
Okay, so Dundee Osprey winning the Top Gun last night. And straight after the race, Sky Racing's Mark Duclos caught up with Jeff Scott-Smith.
You're making a habit of this, Jeff Scott-Smith. You hadn't won a Group 1 race before this year. You took out the Harrison Dawson with him, and now he wins the Sky Racing Top Grunt.
Unbelievable, Mark. Unbelievable.
You were fairly bullish earlier tonight when I spoke to you.
Yeah, I mean, he's feeling really good, and he's come into it with really good form. And today he was jumped out of his skin, so, you know. But it's... You can never be confident in these races, but what a run. What a fantastic run.
He has really stepped up to the mark. We saw him win the Speedstar. He won the Harrison Dawson. He's really franked that form throughout this year. To take out the Top Gun, what does that mean to you? Because this is a race for the best chasers.
Oh, no, it's just, it's hard to describe. You know, you sort of early on, you know, you rode him as a good dog, but he's just developing into such a nice race dog, you know.
And a homebred dog at that?
Homebred dog, yeah.
Well done to you, mate.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so Stewie, that was the Group 1 Sky Racing Top Gun, and Jeff Scott-Smith joins us online now. Jeff, good morning and congratulations.
Oh, good morning. Thanks very much, yeah.
Jeff, just put us in the opposition. When he dropped five lengths back from Aston Bolero last night, midway round, what were you thinking? Be honest. Did you think he'd left himself too much to do?
No, I thought he could do it from there. He's been in a similar situation to Sandown with Aston Bolero, and he's running down both times. And I thought he could do it. When I looked and I saw that Pantera Nera didn't look to be travelling all that well, and I thought he'd pick him up, and then I thought he could run him down. Yeah.
And just put us in your position as well. Put us in your shoes with about 80 metres to go when he started making his charge. What were your feelings? What were your emotions?
Sorry, when that happened?
When he started coming at the finish, what were your emotions? It must have been wonderful watching that.
Oh, it was just hard to describe. It's sort of a bit surreal, you know. Is this really happening? But no, it was a fantastic thrill. Yeah. Fantastic
and look,
thrill.
He won the Group 1 earlier this year, and you've had other winners too. But what's this year been like for you, Jeff? You must be living the dream.
Yeah, it's just been a roller coaster, you know. It's just sort of gone from one to another, and it just keeps rolling on, and you're thinking, you know, the bubble's got to burst, but it's not.
Look, it's been a fantastic story, and I know you had greyhounds, I think, in the 1970s, but then you gave up the sport for a while due to family and other commitments. What made you want to get back into greyhounds, and look at how much have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, well, I've always enjoyed it, but just, you know, like, I had a business to run and didn't have enough time, and then I sort of got to the end of there, and you know, I sort of retired. And the brother, he got a dog, and then someone gave me a dog as a giveaway, and it just sort of snowballed from there. We got back into it, and then I bred a couple of litters, and they both turned out, you know, some handy dogs amongst them, you know, and he's been the best. Like, to breed two litters after such a long time and get a dog like him, it's just like winning a Test Lotto, really, you know. Yeah.
It's been a fantastic achievement. And I think it was your birthday earlier this month, if I'm right in saying, Jeff. So, look, not a bad late present, $150,000. What's it going to be, the Harley-Davidson or the Caribbean cruise?
We might go both, eh?
Well, you've certainly deserved it. And look, a word on Dundee Osprey as well. He's been such a fantastic greyhound. What exactly are his strengths, and what makes him such a wonderful greyhound?
He just seems to have got a mind of his own. Like, he's a very independent dog. He's got a few little funny habits. If I put him in the yard and he'll go for a wander around, he'll come to the gate, so I go to get him. As soon as I get to the gate, he'll turn around and he'll walk away down the other end of the yard. You know, so he's got that little independent streak about him, and he's definitely got that competitive will, like to race. You know, I've got a brother to him that's probably only 3 or 4 lengths slower than him, but in a race he hasn't got that same bit of mongrel in him. And I think that's the difference, just the mental attitude, you know. Yeah.
Well, he's been a wonderful performer for you. And look, I think you name all your greyhounds Dundee after your mother's hometown of Dundee in Scotland. So I guess that must make it all the more special. They must really mean a lot to you, these greyhounds.
Oh, they are, yeah. You get, you form a real bond with them, you know. And I think they seem to feed off you too, so. You know, if you can get that bond going and they've got trust in you, that, you know, they do well for you, I think, you know. Yeah.
Well, look, you've done absolutely fantastic. It's a well-deserved success. You must be over the moon. Congratulations, Jeff. You've had a fantastic year. You really deserve it.
Thanks very much for that. Yeah, it's fantastic, yeah.
Good on you, Jeff. Jeff Scott-Smith joining us there. And, Stu, what happened to the favourite, Zambora Brocky?
Yeah, look, he just couldn't quite get into the race last night, Zambora Brocky. He left himself a bit too much to do. But, gee, as we've heard there, it was such a fantastic finish by Dundee Osprey. Really came, he just timed his finish to absolute perfection and a fantastic win. And just wonderful to see Jeff get that win.
At Wentworth Park last night, we had semis of the Vic Peters Classic. And the quickest of those semis was Ando's Mac.
Set and ready. Racing, Ando's Mac came out running. He's going to cross and lead. Got a motor followed by Black Hole Sun. They'll followed by Nengar Bear, who fell. Chaser got through. They'll followed up by Moonstone Khan. Spring Bloom and Good Oz Bricky near the rear. Ando's Mac is low flying on the top corner. Led by Six, I got a motor. Black Hole Sun, a long gap to Chaser and Moonstone Khan. But this is a one-act affair. Ando's Mac is going to romp in. Ando's Mac first. Great go, Miners. Possibly Chaser just ahead of Black Hole Sun. And then got a motor. They were followed by Spring Bloom.
Well,
then
Ando's Mac was Tim Newbold's best bet of the night, Stewie, and he'd be pretty hard to beat the final now, you'd think.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, Simon. Ando's Mac has now had 2 cracking runs in the heats and semi-finals, so yeah, you've got to think he's going to be tough to stop in the final. Reviewer, who we mentioned last week, he won his semi-final last night as well, also going sub 30 seconds. Look, it's going to be a terrific Vic Peters final. Personally, I'm going to go with Ben Teke, Simon, from Box 1. He had to work pretty hard last night to get through. But look, he's won 4 from 4 from Box 1. He is capable of running a fast time, I think, as long as he gets out okay. So for me, in the Vic Peters Classic on Saturday night, it's going to be Ben Teke from Box 1.
What is the box draw, Stu?
Well, I haven't got it in front of me, but just from memory, you're testing me on a Sunday morning, Simon. But I know, as I said, Ben Teke has got the box one, and should be pretty strong from there. I think Wicked Warrior and Clock's Ticking are also in the mix as well for Jason Magri. Jason's been having a fantastic run of success recently. And Mr. Twister, this hot newcomer for Jason Mackay, who's now won 5 from 5, his first 5 starts, so going fantastic at the moment. He's going to be a big chance as well. The Box draw's really left this one wide open, Simon, but look, as I said, Ben Teke from Box 1 looks ideally drawn, and if he can get out okay, better than he did last night, I think he's going to be pretty tough to run down.
So that's the Vic Peters at Wenty next Saturday night. This Tuesday night, we've got the Group 2 Lismore Workers Club Cup.
We do. And look, after my recent tipping disasters on the show, I clawed back a bit of respectability last week because Michali Meyer, who I picked on last week's show as the winner of this, well, she qualified for the final and how as well. Michali Meyer setting a new track record at Lismore in the heat. She's got Box 1 in the final, Simon. You've got to go for her, I think. And just 2 other group races to mark your card about as well. We've got 2 group finals in Victoria this week. I'll go with Shimmer Song from Box 4 in Friday's Group 2 Geelong Cup and Book 40 for Jason Thompson, that man again, in Saturday's Group 1 Hume Cup at the Meadows. So, it's going to be another busy week again, Simon.
And what are some of the other New South Wales meetings coming up over the next 7 days?
Yeah, look, we've got plenty to look forward to again locally. We've got the Canberra Twilight meeting coming up later tonight. Then tomorrow it's Bathurst, Grafton and the Wentworth Park meeting on a Monday night. Tuesday it's Gosford and that Lismore Cup night. Really looking forward to that one. Wednesday it's back to Canberra, Richmond and Wentworth Park again. Thursday we have Maitland, Dubbo and Dapto. Friday, they jump at Casino, Unibet Gardens, Richmond and Wagga. And then Saturday, it's back to the Gardens, Bull Eye, and, of course, Wentworth Park for Vic Peters' classic night. So that's going to be an absolute ripper. So looks another fantastic week. And, of course, Simon, all your fields, form and expert picks are available at thedogs.com.au.
Good on you, Stewie. Thanks for your time this morning. Enjoy.